everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, where I talk about sports and the intersectionality of politics and culture. And tonight, the Olympics, President Trump, and the faux drama Democrats are claiming, as they always do. Plus, the final whistle, we are going to talk some UFC, NFL as in Gruden, and the Minnesota Vikings, and something called ESPN Journalistic Integrity. If time permits, there are some more final whistle stories I'd like to get to as well. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. Okay, so the big story on tap tonight is Trump's Olympics intervention sparking security and withdrawal debates. You can't make this stuff up. Reports of leadership vacuum in Los Angeles are compounded by internal feuds, budget crisis, and external disruptions. And they've amplified the urgency behind President Trump's federal task force for the 2028 Olympics, which is literally 2.5 years from now. So not a lot of time, because they've got buildings they've got to build. Illegals they've got to deport. But regardless, all of this is positioning the task force as a critical safeguard against what is mounting disarray. And the whole world saw that disarray when the LA wildfires hit. And we've seen it with past catastrophic events, mostly of Mother Nature, but it shows the incompetence of our current leadership that has been leading this state since the turn of the century, and that is the Democratic Party. So while the initiative draws on Trump's past role in securing the bid to deliver an event that's supposed to generate $18 billion in economic impact and create about 90,000 jobs, it's also provoked resistance from California Democrats. And the bottom line here is that California Democrats and California does not have a pot to pee in right now to handle much of anything, again, as the LA wildfires have proven. So further complications do arise from Trump's pledges on athlete gender testing, threats of military presence, and expert warnings of immigration hurdles deterring global participation, fueling radical cause to abandon the games altogether. I should have prefaced that with further faux complications or further fake creations or further lies or further, we're just going to say whatever we can because we have, TDS. Translation, TDS is fueling opposition to not only Trump, but some demanding we not host the Olympics. All righty. On August 5th, just last week, Trump signed an executive order at a ceremony attended by athletes and Olympic officials. I think it was last week. No, maybe it was last year. I'm confusing my dates here. Anyway, yeah, it couldn't have been last year. Anyway, it was attended by athletes and Olympic officials, including the USOPC board chair Gene Sykes and CEO Sarah Hirschlin. And they were attending because it was a creation of a federal task force for the 2028 Los Angeles Summer Olympics. And that's going to occur from July 14th through the 30th, a two-week period in the middle of summer. It's going to be hot as hell. So Trump himself is chairing it with Vice President J.D. Vance as the vice chair. And it's also going to have Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and Kristi Noem, the head of Homeland Security, as well as Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller. This is the future. We're getting in an era where you're going to need this type of coordination with the more and more bad actors out there wanting to target the United States, with the sanctuary cities allowing free reign of bad actors to come in and out. You know, the opportunity for sabotage has been the greatest we have ever seen in these United States of America. Now, Trump did joke about not using the auto pen, which was obviously a jab at President Biden when he signed this. But he did vow to bring L.A. back stronger than ever. And he's expressing his desire to, for the Olympics to be a success. And he really means that because Trump does care about his legacy. And with him being the chair of this committee, he wants it to perform well. So the White House press secretary, the White House went through all the yes nods, President Trump was instrumental in securing the bid to host the Olympics, and he was. He does have a passion for sports. He did own the New Jersey Generals. He's a big fan of MMA. So he's been a big sports guy his whole life. He's also has unmatched experience in the hospitality industry for all the hotels, et cetera. So he's well-versed in what it takes to make an event successful. And he wants to make this the most exciting and most memorable in history. And I believe that. If anything, just because of his ego. Now, Tammy Bruce and Anna Kelly, the Deputy House Press Secretary and spokesperson, Bruce being the latter, they highlighted this with a quote here. This unifying event will generate $18 billion in economic activity and support approximately 90,000 full-time jobs as our country comes together to celebrate sports and American greatness, unquote. Now, Casey Wasserman, that's a chairperson and president of LA 28. Now, that's a bigwig. That's somebody who is of importance. Wasserman met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago this past January to thank Trump, and noting that since securing the bid in 2017, Trump has recognized the magnitude of this responsibility, meaning he may not have campaigned on this, but this was in the back of his head if he got reelected. That's how important it is to him. And Wasserman describes the task force as enabling, quote, the largest and most ambitious Olympic and Paralympic Games ever hosted in the United States, unquote. And Wasserman praised Trump. I keep saying Wasserman because I don't know if Wasserman's a he or a she. I should, but I didn't look it up. But praised Trump's support as extraordinary, and the task force will create the opportunity to level up the planning and deliver the largest and greatest games. I believe that only because Trump has experienced multiple success with his hotel. See, people like to look at his, Trump vodka, Trump planes. Trump actually sold his plane. His small fleet there, whatever, two or three planes, I don't know, for a profit. But Trump stakes and all these failures, he's licensed those. Everything he's actually owned has done pretty well. And Wasserman did secure assurances from Trump and Rubio on visa issues without anticipating problems for delegations. And I believe that too. There's doing what's right, and there's being smart and doing what's right. And avoiding certain delays. And that's what the task force will deal with. The task force will focus on streamlining visa processing and credentialing for foreign participation and the media, meaning the athletes and the media that's covering them will be streamlined the process to make it work. And with Trump there, with the way they've been cleaning house, with the way they've been resetting the agenda, you're not going to have the nonsense that's typically there with government. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Elon gets involved to help streamline this with the computers and things like that. And they're also going to be addressing international visitor concerns. These are the lies. They're going to address the lies that the media and Democrats talk about in terms of the immigration policies, travel bans, athletes and coaches exemptions, and things like that. And this isn't a big issue. They're making it a bigger issue than what it is. The media is. Why? Because they got nothing. They ain't got nothing on Trump. Whether it's tariffs, which we've been in the black and generating billions, to inflation and to a short I'll be doing later this week on food prices and energy prices. They ain't got nothing. So they make stuff up. The so-called experts like Victor Matheson warns of significant immigration problems with fans and players going across borders. No, there's not going to be any issue. Either get your paperwork straightened out to come across. Make sure you're not on that wanted list or that no-fly zone. That's on you. It's not on the United States to make it easier on you. It's on the United States to make it streamlined, but to remain safe. And you can't wait to the last minute to do an event like this. That's a reality of it. So Victor Matheson is just making up problems. I mean, that could happen, as it does with a hiccup here or there, which is likely to happen. That's human nature. But he's saying it's going to be massively bad. I mean, what he's doing is saying it's going to be like when Democrats run things. Another so-called expert, Jules Boykoff, predicts heightened federal crackdowns and more Trump involvement in this game's approach. It's kind of funny. Where the bleep were you, Jules, when Newsom was rounding everybody up and cleaning it up? So when Winnie the Pooh, Xi, from China came over in San Francisco, where were you, Jules, with your hiding crackdowns? There's not going to be hiding crackdowns. There's going to be normal crackdowns that we're already seeing in action. It becomes heightened when Democrats like Newsom help fund nonprofits that buy tools and weapons for the protesters to use. Go to hell, you moron. A U.S. Travel Association report flags logistical fears for the event, even as Visit California executives tout, quote, refresh global image of California as the most welcoming destination, unquote. So what it is, you're having anti-Trump forces, those with TDS, we have those here at Grumbly's Media. Calm down. It'll be okay. Of course, I'm joking, but it's just fun to poke fun at people when they're wrong all the time. So despite an executive touting that in terms of what it can do for California, who works in that industry of tourism, LA officials faux worry about visa denials affecting teens due to immigration policies. Let me put it to you this way. Any person on an Olympic team right now is probably in the process of their coaches or staff getting that paperwork done properly. If anything, if somebody's held back, I guarantee you it'll be for a legit reason. Oh, yeah, this Bulgarian weightlifter here, bam, he's wanted for beating his wife and slapping his kids. He's a domestic abuser. Or this guy's wanted for leaving a hit and run, DWI, you know, stuff like that will come about. You know, I'm being facetious here a bit. But it's like there's always hiccups. But these people talk about it as if that's the norm. That's how it is. It's like when Bill Maher says, you don't have compassion for those people who are being shipped. No, I don't. Why? Because they've taken jobs from Americans. They've got stolen Social Security cards. They're undermining the whole industry. Why? Because they're only earning half of what an American would for that job. And they're not passing on the savings to us, Bill. They're pocketing it, the rich are. So, yeah, I have no compassion. Who do I have compassion for? Our Americans homeless on the street who are being ignored. Veterans who need help are being ignored. Police who are being attacked. ICE agents who are being docked. Let's take care of our own house. And then we can look to help others by maybe speeding up how the immigration process works to get more people here. Only using the H-1B visas to properly bring in foreign workers for jobs we don't have enough Americans for. You know, take care of, make America great again. Then we can help. Now, before y'all sit there saying, go jump in the lake. We are the most giving country, not only humanely with volunteers, but financially. So go bleep yourself. We have compassion. You don't. But you just want to get on your stump there, oh, little wee Willie Bill Maher. Okay, so let's talk about some local planning. So according to Politico, they had a report this week. The planning for the Olympics is stalling due to internal conflicts and crisis that no one is in charge. That there's feuds between the unions and business leaders distracting from preparations. I talked about this in FUCA, my Fired Up California podcast. Check it out at Rumblings or YouTube under the handle Grumblings Media. In terms of the battle between businesses and the unions that will directly impact the Olympics. So Mayor Karen Bass enacted a $30 per hour minimum wage for tourism workers ahead of the 2028 games. Now, that's created a business backlash, and it's also created a retaliatory ballot initiative. You can create a ballot. You get enough signatures, you can put it on the ballot, you can get it elected. It's the people voting for what we want. So she did this, and it's going to create job loss, abandonment. It's going to create bad blood. And these businesses, they're pretty much making it known. We're not going to pay for this. We're either going to pass every dime of this cost to the customer, and or we're going to leave the city limits of L.A. So they don't realize the backlash that's coming. And what does this do? It hurts tourism. All of a sudden, a $1,000 trip, for example, becomes $1,500, $1,800. And this is with the city grappling a $1 billion budget shortfall amid wildfires and then all the damage that they did to the city to repair, to fix. Hell, the fire did that too. Now, Bass's office is supposedly working to de-escalate tensions with the business reps, but they don't care about the business reps. They don't care about you, small business. If you're Black or Latino or Asian and you're voting Democrat, you're on your knees for her and getting nothing in return. And this has always been ongoing for generations. So she's not really working to de-escalate tensions as much as she's making it look as she if she is, but she's on the union side 1,000%. That's why they're like, who's in charge? Because nobody's really doing anything to bring these two factions together, the business owners and the unions. So but what's her out? She's accusing Trump of ratcheting up chaos and perpetuating a political agenda provoking fear and terror. Actually, her with the riots and the violence, she's the one who provoked fear and terror. She's the one who doesn't want MacArthur Park cleaned up, where people get mugged. There were like 80 some odd deaths from a couple year period there, right around that area in the park, where MS-13 runs the park and they charge drug dealers and prostitutes to operate there. That's who she was protecting. And she's accusing Trump of ratcheting up chaos. So about a week and a half ago, a couple of weeks ago, the Hotel Workers Union submitted a ballot proposal that requires citywide voter approval for new event centers. And that includes sports venues and stadiums. So what does that mean? It's going to directly impact at least five planned Olympic sites, like those in Venice Beach, onto the 2026 ballot. All that's going to do is escalate the labor business feud. And it's going to threaten venue timelines. So what that means is these five Olympic venues will have to go on the ballot in 2026. Then you got to wait till election day. You got to wait a few months, see if it's passed. Then you got to start the process of getting those things built. Now, y'all may say, oh, it's 18 months. Really? Do you understand how long it takes to build something with all the regulations, the codes, the unions, all that crap here? Now, Parker Corian, a former city council member who's now with Karen Bass, he highlighted the risk of the preparations. Well, he's part of the problem that's helping create this. They're not trying to facilitate anything. They're trying to figure out a way to blame this on Trump. They don't care if it fails. If it fails, they're going to blame Trump. And again, they have a $1 billion budget shortfall. They have about a $14 billion budget. And Bass admits it's up to a $2 billion. See, I think it's $2 billion plus. And then there are going to be planning cuts, there's going to be layoffs, and there's a hiring freeze. I mean, these people don't work efficiently as it is. They're going to have less of them, even less work's going to be done. Now, they're talking about the budget. Olympics are budgeted at approximately $7 billion through private funding and new permanent venues. Now, since the 1990s, that they may be around the world with these, they say they had these budgets, but there's a constant overrun. Now, they're saying there's going to be at least $1 billion in profits via sponsorships, ticket sales, and broadcast revenue. I don't see it. Right now, LA is a bleep hole, and that's a reputation it has. What's going to happen if this continues on into the next 18 months? So they have a window to improve the perception of how we see LA. But you get crimes, murder, that makes the news. You have a mayor's race that's going to, a mayor's race, yes, and a governor's race that's going to highlight all the negativities, opponents will. So that's a dicey scenario. And despite that, they say that the city remains liable for about $300 million in overruns, $270 million to be specific, overruns or shortfalls before state or federal intervention. Now, I can guarantee you this. Well, Trump will be out of office by then. Well, he'll still be in office, but he'll be a duck by then. They're going to have, if they screw it up, they're going to have to fight for that money for the feds to come in. Meaning if they find abuse and fraud, and if it's another Republican, they're probably going to challenge what they give. Why? My proof? Trump's not giving the $40 billion that Newsom wants without having to pay it back. Because he's like, look, where's your money going? I see where your money's going. No. We're not going to give it to you. Because if we give it to you, you're not going to fix anything. Because you haven't fixed anything. And that's why you've had wildfire after wildfire after wildfire. Because you know we'll bail you out. No mas. So that's not a given, that the $300 million. It may be even more that they may end up having to foot the bill for, which means Los Angelinos will. And then she'll go to Sacramento to try to spread the bloodbath to the rest of the taxpayers in California. And the reason I believe it's going to be well over that, there's hidden costs in there that will not be covered by the feds also. It's kind of like when you go to Vegas and you check out that $199 a night deal you thought you were getting becomes $299. I'm not exaggerating anymore. That's how they do it. So there are security tensions and military threats that have been created by Democrats. They say there's tensions that stem from the deployment of the National Guard and Marine troops to squelch the protesters this past June, and in his immigration agenda and ICE raids. And they refute, and this is fueling skepticism about security plans. And then there's a faux poll meaning a poll that was geared with the type of questions to where it makes it sound as if we hate what Trump's doing. That was a YouGov poll saying 52% of Americans view Trump's immigration policy as too harsh, and 54% saying ICE agents have gone too far. That's a faux poll, meaning it's a garbage poll, crap data in, crap data out. It's a fixed poll. It was created to come to that resolution. Now, last week, during a task force announcement, Trump explicitly stated he would deploy the military for security. We'll do anything necessary to keep the Olympics safe, including using our National Guard or military, and affirmed, no, I will use the National Guard or military. This is going to be safe, or so safe. Now, there's been $1 billion in federal funding allocated for Olympic security because of the Big Beautiful Bill. And that was praised by Wasserman. And you know who else likes it but won't say a single word? The same Democrats attacking Trump. Why? That's $1 billion they don't have to use for security. Now, what they don't like is Trump announced strict transgender policies for the games, but he really did not have much power. But the Gene Sykes, the USOPC chair, said, quote, for recently banning men from competing in women's sports, meaning the Olympics aren't going to have that nonsense either. You know, and as we all know, in February 2025, Trump had an executive order barring athletes from girls and women's sports unless assigned female at birth. And the USOPC, United States Olympic Planning Committee, updated its policy in July 2025 to comply. That's probably part of the reason to get the security and to get Trump's help to get this task force going. And they vowed, the Olympic Committee vowed, quote, a very, very strong form of testing, unquote, for sex eligibility. And they declared, quote, the United States will not let men steal trophies from women at the 2028 Olympics. And if the test doesn't come out appropriately, they won't be in the Olympics. I don't know. I'm assuming the USOPC, but do not quote me on that, despite the quote I gave you. But that is what was said towards the Olympics. And, of course, we can't forget the fallout from the 2024 Paris debacle, where Amin Khalif from Algeria and Lin Yuting from Taiwan won gold, despite the fact they were ruled ineligible in 2023 IBA ineligibility rulings, because they're men. They're men. But they are biologically men. In fact, IOC President Christy Coventry called for a gender eligibility task force to, quote, protect the female category. Now, Khalif's saying, oh, that does not concern me, and it does not intimidate me. I will be competing. Yeah, you won't if you don't pass that test. So the World Athletic plans cheek swabbing tests to detect male typical sex development genes. They're like for the XY chromosome. Or YY chromosome, or XX, the one that shows you're a man versus a woman. Now, some are calling for withdrawal. LA Times columnist Erica D. Smith urged LA to withdraw from hosting the Olympics, like Denver did in 1976 Winter Games, or Colombia from the 86 World Cup. Now, again, faux outrage. She's an elitist. She's a wannabe elitist. She's more like, in terms of being on her knees with the Democratic Party and her ideology, she doesn't care about you. Para mi latino, ella, nosotros no somos nada de importancia para ella. Ella no usa. For Black Americans, same thing. She doesn't care about you. She uses you to further her own ideological beliefs. Why? She cites Trump's task force as a vehicle for political weaponization against the blue city potential siege via military deployment tied to deportation policies and summer 2025 deportations. And that's what she's saying. He's going to use the military to take people out. Illegally, probably legal aids, you know, from that nature. I don't want to go too harsh on her with making it sound as she's completely bonkers. But she's as close to bonkers as you get. And now this is where I do agree with her. There's unproven no-cost claims amid the nearly $300 million city liability, not counting hidden costs, but that account for supposed cost overruns or shortfalls. On top of the billion-dollar budget deficit, strained city resources. We don't have enough for police or firefighters during the game. There's only been a few profitable Olympics. The Paris Olympic was multi-billions, billions it cost to make that. They made $30 million. That's like you, the average Joe, spending $1 million and you bring in a $100,000 profit. You're like, whoa, is that it? It's pretty much equivalent. And she doesn't like the inclusion of J.D. Vance, Christy Noem, and Stephen Miller on the task force. She doesn't like him. Doesn't matter that they're more qualified, better qualified than she is at actual writing. They're better qualified at literally anything than what she actually does for work. So what's all this mean in layman terms? She's saying to ditch the 2028 Olympics because she doesn't like Trump's task force. She lies and says it's going to be used as a political weapon against L.A. That there's going to be military crackdowns and deportations. And where I do agree with her that there's going to be huge budget shortfalls, that will probably happen. Is it going to drain resources? Yes. And the odds of making a profit are nil. So I agree with her on that. But she's lying. She's good. That's TDS. Oh. You know, it's okay. Again, historically, most of these cities don't turn a profit. Now, Los Angeles in 1984 turned a profit. Why? Because they had Peter Ubarov, who was an expert at creating these type of events, specifically handpicked to do this. I don't even think he finished it off. I think somebody else took over at the end. It just the wear and tear got to him. But they put it off. They had about a $215 to $232 million surplus. Why? They used existing venues, private funding, and big-time TV advertisement revenue. You know, so they maximized everything. They didn't build anything or minimal building. Whereas all these others, we're going to build a whole city for the Olympics. What? If you're homeless, dude, you're screwed. Come to the Olympics. Just a warning there. You know, because they supposedly care about you, just as Newsom did in San Francisco. Get out of here. She's coming. Winnie the Pooh's coming. Seoul in 1988 had a nearly $500 million profit. Barcelona in 1992 and Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, because they had their scandal. But notice I'm going back to before the turn of the century. And again, Salt Lake City was compounded with a lot of scandals. Mitt Romney, does that surprise us? Scandal ridden. Guy's got more dirt under his fingernails than a gardener. What we're likely looking at is the Beijing 2008, $40 billion cost versus $3.6 billion revenue. London 2012, $118 billion cost versus $5.2 billion revenue. LA 1984, again, profit $232 million. No new venues were built, and it was commercially focused. Meaning they were – part of the plan was we got to make our money back. Got to make our money back. And looking at ways to do it, and part of it had to make the money back, keep costs down. Atlanta 1996, they broke even, but then they had security issues. Salt Lake 2002, the bribery scandal. And their profit was long-term because the infrastructure they built was to be used for the year. So they didn't make their money. They eventually broke even and then started making a profit. But that's long-term. By then, they could have done that in other ways. 1932 summer in L.A., small profit. Great Depression. Lake Placid, 1980, winter. The debt was passed on to the taxpayers. There's a 1960 winter in Squaw Valley. The point is, the rarity of financial success without overruns is more is not likely to happen. That is the profit. So the rarity of a profit is just that, a rarity. Now, the LA City Council members expressed concerns over the task force and security. Monica Rodriguez, a city council member, I'm concerned about what his intentions are in regards to Trump. What tangible support is going to actually look like? I'm hoping for a hospitable environment where visitors aren't concerned or under duress as they currently are for visiting our country. That's like the biggest lie. There is no visitor who is concerned. Oh, my gosh, I'm in LA. Are they going to come get me? Nobody's concerned like that. I never run into one person. Never heard of a story. It's always manufactured. And then Adrien Nazarian opposes the military-style security. You know what? I don't oppose anything that will keep us safe as long as it's within standards, and that is within standards. You know, after Panama was invaded and all hell broke loose, stores being robbed into, within a week they had armed guards. No stores were broken into when those armed guards were there. And these weren't like guns. They were carrying armed rifles. You know? And lo and behold, none of those stores were robbed. Now, he's talking about, look at the LA Olympics in 1932 and 1984. You mean before defund the police, before cost overruns, before the lack of police, before the lack of qualified police? Moron. Then there's Gil Cisneros, another moron, saying Trump needs to get out of the way and let the Los Angeles Olympic Committee plan the Olympic Games. Well, they are. And they want Trump's task force involved. You see the moronic comments you get from these people? And, hey, Gil. I think the L.A. wildfire show is what we're going to get if we let Los Angeles get involved. He has to go all the way to Atlanta in 1996. That was pretty good. Really? Really? That bombing, yeah, that was pretty good, Phil. Gil, whatever your name is. Now, here's a flip. Governor Gavin Newsom spokesperson Diana Cross Pelayo welcomed the support, stating, quote, "We welcome the White House's financial and logistical support for these global games that will showcase the vibrancy of California and the Los Angeles region." He needs something good for California. He's getting ready to run for president, and he got nothing. What you got to do is, I ain't got nothing. Well, what are you going to tell the audience? Oh, no, I just lied to them. Where's that Getty money? Where's that oil money? Aren't you for green? Shut up. For those of you that don't understand, his benefactors come from Getty Oil. And he's Mr. Green. But, yeah, all his money backing's from oil. Then there's Mayor Karen Bass and Sidney Cam Lagardove, and they've also acknowledged some bipartisan support with Dove posting, quote, on X, quote, "The Olympics must transcend politics and showcase the best of America." Yeah, unquote. I'll hold her to that when I see some of her other quotes. So look, this Olympic chaos isn't chaos. Trump's task force is smart. It's a smart fix for LA's mess. It's a $1 billion budget hole that they're going to be coming in to fill. The union fights. They're going to stall venues with voter ballots. And the Olympics and its history is full of losses, like Beijing's $40 billion flop. And despite the fact that LA 84 profited big, it was because of no frills, being smart with no venues, and having a heavy hand in the commercialization of it to maximize people coming to see it, not only in person, but on television. That's not likely to happen here, especially with how fractured we are and how anti-America Democrats have turned this country into, in terms of half the country hating themselves. Trump's pushing visa ease, despite what Democrats say. He's pushing greater security, as is needed in a sanctuary city where people come and go freely and the statistical odds of sabotage is the highest it's ever been in the history of this country. The gender test to shield women's sports, post-Paris drama, that's a big bonus. And if everything does work properly, we're looking at a $1 billion economic boost and 90,000 jobs. But California Democrats, overreach, despite welcoming Fed help. You know, so they're talking on both sides. Yeah, Rodriguez pretends to be wary of intentions. Cisneros yells, "Get out!" And an LA Times columnist calls to bail out, as in bail out of the Olympics. It's classic TDS ginning up drama over a unifying win. In other words, a chance to bring America together. And they don't want it. So the exposed disarray in local leadership underscores accountability failures. Federal oversight will rectify that, and that'll avert fallout. So as we edge closer to 2028, all this bickering over gender rules and pull-out demands, it really spotlights what's at stake for the whole country. Clearing the path for stronger federal guidance to deliver a killer united global spectacle, or to allow failure like the Democrats want. Look, America deserves an epic win, not this garbage political drama Democrats are putting on. Tell me in the comments what your take is. All right, let's get to the final whistle. I got a chance here for a couple of stories here. So the UFC's July 4th White House fight card has been confirmed by Dana White. So they will host that on July 4th, 2026. White revealed the discussions with Ivanka Trump. They're talking logistics, including location. So the announcement follows UFC's $7.7 billion streaming deal. I'll get into that in a moment. No fighters have been named, despite the fact that retired heavyweight John Jones says he's interested. My take, man, this is bound to turn political just cause. It's going to become political just because Trump's behind it. They're going to link it to violence, hate promotion, all of that crap. I don't care. I'm skipping it anyway. MMA's straight up brutal violent. Like, it makes me cringe. You know, it reminds me of the Roman Colosseum spectacles. But violence, hey, it's baked in our DNA. People love it. And you got to hand it to Trump for his marketing genius. This will be a massive hit. It's going to put the administration in the spotlight from the build up to the fight night. So his promo chops are still on point. And it's going to give MMA a huge boost overall. Where's it airing? It would seem like it's a smart play for Paramount Plus, hot off that UFC deal, to drop it for free and reel in the subscribers. Nevada Supreme Court rules in favor of Jon Gruden, halting the NFL arbitration. So the Nevada Supreme Court has sided with former NFL coach Jon Gruden in his ongoing lawsuit against the league. They rejected mandatory arbitration, and they're allowing the case to proceed in open court. Remember, Jon Gruden resigned as the Las Vegas Raiders head coach in 2021 after emails he sent between 2011 and 2018 contained derogatory remarks about NFL PA head DeMaurice Smith and others. They purposely leaked those to the media. He said DeMaurice Smith, I think, has like big lips, is what he said, and he's African-American. So the emails were exchanged with former Washington Commanders GM Bruce Allen, and they let those leak during the NFL investigation into the Commanders and Snyder. And Gruden alleges, and I agree with him, and we're going to find out for sure, that the leak selectively leaked them because they were targeting the smear campaign against him. So in 2022, the Nevada 8th Judicial District Court denied the NFL's motion to dismiss the lawsuit, which brings us to today. So they ruled 5-2, the Nevada Supreme Court, that the NFL's arbitration clause is unconscionable and inapplicable to Gruden as a non-employee. And that blocks arbitration and permits the public proceedings. So what's my take? Man, Gruden's been dying to drag this whole mess into the open because he swears the NFL picked him out for a hit job. Now, he dropped some rough lines in those emails, I'm not going to lie. But come on, I have hung out with all kinds of cultures where I'm the outsider, with blacks, Latinos, Asians, and whites. And the trash talk and bigotry that flies when people think no one's listening, it's valid and cuts across every group. So when a minority talks about this, I'm always like, let's see the facts first, because I know how all sides are. So show me DeMaurice Smith's emails or anyone else's in that mix before I make final judgment. Now, the NFL is scrambling to appeal this lawsuit. They're going to ask the Supreme Court of Nevada to rehear it. Technically, the U.S. Supreme Court could hear it. Both are unlikely to happen. You know, it's not like Gruden doesn't have support. Warren Sapp straight up backed him, saying he'd stake his life on Gruden not being racist, and even called out Smith for jumping on the pylon. Most are staying silent, though, but who knows what that reason is. But this is going to crank up the drama. ESPN's journalistic credibility under fire following NFL Network deal. Now, ESPN purchase of the NFL Network and related media assets gave the NFL a 10% equity stake in ESPN. So now there's debates over conflicts of interest and how you cover the NFL. Now, former Marlins executive David Sampson questioned ESPN's future ability to critically report on NFL figures like Jerry Jones. Now, Bob Iger, Disney CEO, insisted the acquisition would not alter ESPN's journalistic approach. He's so full of crap, and he's lying. Look, with all due respect, in all seriousness, ESPN has not had journalistic integrity since the turn. That was since about 2005, 2010, right around there. Once Obama got elected, it went out the window. It was woke city all the way. But let me bring you back to a memory. Remember Playmakers? That show crushed it in ratings back in 2003, but the NFL leaned hard on ESPN. They said cancel it after only one season. Why? Because it exposed the dark underbelly of pro football, drugs, violence, and scandals. And ESPN folded. Why? They had a massive broadcasting deal with the league. Poof! No more bold, no more original scripted stuff that criticized the NFL. This new deal, it's a final nail in the coffin for any hope of journalism coming back with its NFL coverage at ESPN. It's gone across the board, but it's dead forever with the NFL. They'll cover player arrests or whatever news breaks, but it'll be downplayed to keep the marriage happy. It's been dead for decades, folks. And if anybody tells you otherwise, we have the receipts, and it's called the Playmakers. Minnesota Viking fans divided over male cheerleaders being hired. All right, look, the Vikings appointed Blaze Sheik as a male cheerleader on their main dance squad, and that's ignited some debate. It's kind of gross, you know. The team announced him just earlier today or yesterday, I think, and him and Louis Kahn's male members. And they're going to do identical dance routines like the female cheerleaders. It's not going to be traditional where they hold the woman up, where they're like the anchor, the strong male anchor. Social media erupted, but this has been going on since 2018 now. And fan threats that they're going to cancel the season tickets because of woke overreach, yada, yada, yada. So despite the backlash, including Antonio Brown getting down and dirty about it, NFL refund policies typically prevent cancellations for personal reasons. They're going to cancel it. They just won't pay, and they'll make a complaint to the credit card. And the league will look bad if you try to keep people from to these tickets. Or they'll sell the tickets to other people. And the league doesn't like that. So the league will eventually allow these people to get their money back. My take, you know, hiring feminine presenting male cheerleaders like Blaze, sounds like a poor name. It's silly. It's odd. And honestly, it's creepy. It's grotesque. It's just gross seeing men acting like that. Plus, they're taking spots that have traditionally gone to beautiful, attractive young women. And that's actually undercutting cheerleading's origins and stunts and the team hype. Hey, root for my team. No, Blaze, get the hell out of my face. Now, you can understand, I'm going to knock you out. But in today's push for gender equity, and since it's not a competitive arena, griping about it seems pretty pointless. Final story here before I run out of time. The Paramount acquires the UFC rights in a $7.7 billion deal following Skydance merger. So Paramount has inked a major deal to secure the U.S. rights to UFC events now that their merger with Skydance is done. And that's actually a massive boost to their sports streaming ambitions. They purchased the U.S. rights to all 43 UFC live events from TKO Group. That's the $7.7 billion. It's over 7 years, starting next year. And it's going to average about $1 billion annually with backloaded payments. So that was negotiated 48 hours after the Skydance merger closed. And what does this do? It destroys the pay-per-view model. So all events will be free on Paramount Plus. And it's going to replace ESPN's $500 million annual deal that expires at the end of 2025. This is huge. I don't know if it's going to be free for anybody or the subscribers, but regardless, UFC is one of the most popular sports and people paying to see it on television with the pay-per-view were huge. So Mark Shapiro, the TKO executive, and Ariel Emanuel, they praised the alignment. Of course they are. They got $7.7 billion. Paramount gains a 30-day exclusive window to negotiate UFC's international rights upon each country's renewal. So if the Brits come up, Paramount can negotiate within that window. What's my take, man? Streaming's really shaking things up with these big sports deals, massive deals. MMA's totally eclipsing boxing as the go-to contact sport. Well, maybe the WNBA. But it's pulling in fans week after week. And by killing off pay-per-view and making UFC part of the Paramount Plus service, it feels like a killer loss leader to reel in more subscribers. That's huge. See, Taylor Sheridan wasn't doing that despite the massive contract and the people enjoying his shows, but he's not bringing in new subscribers. So right now, this looks like a genius first move for the Skydance-owned Paramount, including CBS. But what do they actually get back, those billions? That's a big question hanging out there. And there you have it, my friends. That is tonight's Points on the Board episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Big story there with the Olympics. Big, big, big story with the Olympics. And I hope you enjoyed the little final whistle notes. Gruden. Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, but the UFC, that's huge news. So make sure you tell me your thoughts in the comments. And do not forget to hit that thumbs up and to like and share this podcast wherever you may see it at. And do not forget, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can catch this podcast and all my other ones, my political and cultural podcasts over there too. And you can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, e Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Until next week, my friends, stay frosty. I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board.